You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to this week's Nature Connection show on Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner. I'm a flower essence practitioner and trainer, and my passion is to share with you all the gifts that Mother Nature can offer us in all her different guises, and that when we spend more time with nature, whether that's either actually physically going out into nature or learning about how she teaches us about how to live our lives, we can actually reconnect back to deeper parts of ourselves and increase our feelings of well-being in life. So this week in the UK, it's the lead up to Halloween, and we're going to be looking at the more spiritual aspects of Halloween and what it means from a seasonal perspective, and looking at some flower essences that can help us align with this time of year. I'm also going to be talking to a very special lady called Caroline Barnes, who's going to be talking to you all about sound and how she works with sound in her life and in her business. So I'll be back very shortly. I'm delighted to welcome to the Nature Connections show today Caroline Barnes. Now, Caroline offers counselling and psychotherapy to individuals and couples, and is also a sound therapist and a therapeutic voice practitioner. So welcome to the show, Caroline.
Hello, Sarah.
So thank you for coming on to the show with us today and sharing yourself and all that you do with us. I'm sure we're going to learn all about the different strands of your work throughout the show today. But maybe always a good place to start, and one that I'm always curious about myself, is how did you find yourself? How did you find your own way into this work?
Yes, that's a very good question, and one I often ponder upon myself. Well, as you mentioned, I've been a therapist for some years. And it was during that time that I just began to explore and put some feelers out for other ways of working that went beyond just using the voice. Counseling and psychotherapy, of course, is a very powerful way of working. But I just sensed that for me, I wanted to look at, to incorporate other ways too. And by some life events, I was drawn to the world of sound. And through that, through exploring that and training as a sound therapist, I discovered primarily my own voice. And from that, discovered how powerful it was, not my voice initially, because that was a big problem for me, but how powerful sound and voice work was, and went on to train as a therapeutic voice practitioner. And now I combine those two to work with sound and voice to really enable others to connect to their creative, expressive selves that moves beyond having to always use words.
Yes. That makes a lot of sense, and I think it's be really interesting for us to talk a little bit later about how we can express ourselves without the use of words, and I know that is your expertise. But let's start maybe at talking about the different modalities that you offer. Now, I think most people nowadays are familiar with counselling and also psychotherapy. Some people know about sound therapy. In fact, many people know about sound therapy. I think people are used to seeing and hearing the bowls that you use and the gongs and the chimes. People are used to seeing the images and even hearing the sounds, because it's incorporated into so much nowadays. Fewer people know about the therapeutic voice work. In fact, I think that's probably quite new to most people. So would you talk to us a little bit about both of those? Maybe
Yes, of
explain the
course.
differences and how they meet and how they're different, maybe.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, well, I mean, as you say, just to really just agree with you that sound work, thank goodness these days, is really for many of us quite familiar, and we are very aware of the instruments that are used within this field, and we draw upon many ancient instruments for that, the Himalayan singing bowls, gongs, and more modern day versions of that, which are the crystal singing bowls, and a whole variety of instruments in between that. There is so much, it's like a little sweetie shop of potential vibrational tools that we can call upon. And really, to understand how sound can be used in a therapeutic way is to know, as you know yourself, Sarah, with flower essences, is that we are vibrational beings, and as such, that we are not static, but continually flowing and vibrating, and with that resonating. So, using sound, of course, isn't new. It is, in fact, a very, very ancient way of working, and that. One that our ancient ancestors understood incredibly well. And these days, of course, it's also drawn upon in modern medicine with scans, etc., and many investigatory procedures. And there's been huge amount of research in this area, and there are many leading names at the forefront of this vast and ever-expanding area. Which makes me feel very excited and passionate as that we're coming together now with the modern and the ancient. So I love that.
It's nice to acknowledge, isn't it, that these two worlds do meet and do are meeting in very mainstream places. It's just that we don't necessarily connect them as being the same thing.
Absolutely. Yes, I too. I find that fascinating and exciting. So yeah, we do finally, we're all coming together, which is wonderful. Yes, yeah. So working with sound is powerful because as I said at the beginning there, vibration, we are vibratory beings. And so when we use sound work like this in a very focused way, it can affect us in many different ways. And it can do that through actually altering our brainwave states, and it can take us into a more meditative awareness. And in that place, we can access different aspects of ourselves. By that, what I really mean by that is that in that place, we can enter into, if you like, into a more subconscious awareness and bring and recall. Maybe we might find ourselves recalling memories. And so we can make the unconscious conscious. And when we do that, we have an ability or an opportunity, maybe, of acknowledging parts of ourselves or parts of our lives or maybe parts of feelings and emotions that we didn't really understand before, but knew on some level that affected us deeply, but maybe not always connected to areas that were fully understandable.
So what you're doing is very much allowing the greater aspects of the self to translate them down into being able to express them. So some things may be going on in our bodies or in our emotions or in our spiritual world, but we don't actually know what they are. So by engaging in the sound world as you do, may enable us to actually find a voice to those experiences. Is that?
Yes. In essence, that's right, Sarah. So it may certainly, it may do. It doesn't always, but it may do. And to work consciously with that awakening, if you like, that gradual blossoming and greater awareness of what maybe we do hold on levels that we hadn't been aware of before. You mentioned there about the body, and as you know, the body is an amazingly wise and beautiful friend of ours that very often that we neglect living in this predominantly head-focused world of ours. And when we can drop down into the body and really hear its messages, then we can really understand what we hold at a very deep cellular level. And then working with sound, we're able to access that And working with the voice in particular, which is in fact one of our most powerful sounding tools we own, we can learn and discover how to use the vibrations of our own voice to link into memories and areas of holding in the body to access it and to release it.
Which brings us into the therapeutic voice work that you do, I think.
Yes, yes, it does, yes.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yes, yeah. Well, I discovered the voice purely, I think, by accident, although maybe in hindsight it probably was no accident. And how I did that, as I said earlier, was through my exploring the sound, the world of sound, where I discovered my voice. And it was a little bit of a surprise to me to do that, because my own voice for most of my younger life had been my main area of concern. And by that, what I mean is that I often found it difficult to express what I really wanted to with words and using my voice. So it was a great joy to discover, first of all, that I had a voice. And of course I had a voice because I was talking all the time, but maybe not in ways that I always wanted to. So it was through discovering my voice in terms of understanding how to use it in various techniques, such as toning and overtoning, and various sounding voice techniques that maybe many of us have heard of, and singing, that I was then led to discover therapeutic voice work, which is moving beyond using the voice in any of those ways, but using it as pure sounding.
Wonderful. And I know that you work specifically, and you're one of the main people in this country, in the UK, offering that work.
Yes, well, I had to, once I'd kind of discovered that part, I knew then roughly what I was looking for. And there are, I have to say this, of course, some amazing teachers in England offering some fantastic voice training, all of which is wonderful. But I came across a particular type of voice work which really resonated very deeply with me, which then I had to travel to Europe to train. So I then undertook some years of embarking on a wonderful journey into various countries in Europe, being the only English person present actually at all of those trainings. And that particular work is called Soul Voice. And it was there that I really began to understand how the voice can be used with a more therapeutic aspect of really deep, deep work, which then of course connected counselling and psychotherapy together. So it's really understanding how it can be used, combining those two aspects.
That's what I was just feeling. Isn't it lovely that you found these different but similar ways, or not, they're not similar, but different ways of bringing everything together, and people can kind of come in at wherever they feel drawn.
Absolutely, yes, and very often one can lead to the other,
yes,
which can be surprising, because maybe one doesn't initially come with that intention, but we'll discover, as I did, that they are all intimately connected, as we are intimately connected with all aspects of ourselves. So yes, they fit together beautifully.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. So in the work that I do, Caroline, I work with many people, as I know you do, who do work in other worlds, in inverted commas. So we may have jobs, for want of a better word, that aren't always very explainable in the more modern day world. And we have labels to describe ourselves, like I'm a sound therapist, or I'm a flower essence practitioner, or I'm a reflexologist, or whatever it is we do, I'm a counselor. But actually, what is actually what we actually do is different.
Yes, that's very true.
So that is what we do. That is part of the label. But actually, what we're doing is much deeper than that. So, and allowing ourselves to hear that ourselves is often the first step, is discovering what we really do ourselves. And I think that's where what the kind of work that you do comes in. So can you talk to us a little bit about that, how what you do helps us to express what we do and what we are, or who we are, without words?
Yes, I think, you know, that's very true, is that when we actually come to discover ourselves, first of all, and find our own voice, we may find that initially, for many reasons and in many different areas of life, it's very difficult to do. And I think that has its roots for many of us in possibly our own lifetime, but also I also feel that it connects very strongly into a collective aspect, if you will, of what it is to express your truth. So how we begin to work with that is by discovering initially what that might be. So and working through our own layers and levels of discomfort in actually being able to find initially and then express our authentic self. So initially we will do that, and primarily we do that through accessing our emotional self and really being able to be truthful in that, really being able to express exactly how it is that we are feeling, the emotions that we may be holding on to, and feel that it is actually okay to do that. It is okay to say, I'm feeling sad, or I'm feeling angry, or I'm feeling maybe even absolutely aesthetically wonderful, and I feel okay about saying that. So it is about acknowledging ourselves first and foremost, and being able to feel free in order to do that. And in order to do that, we maybe, as I say, have to discover what has been blocking us, what has been holding us back in that. And for many of us, if not all of us, that may be life circumstances. It may be, there's so many reasons, cultural issues. There may be family scenarios that have occurred that have prevented us or shut us down. We may even have found ourselves in a school choir at some point and being told actually to please keep your voice down because you're singing out of tune. Now, something as seemingly innocuous as that can actually affect the way and how we express ourselves on such a deep level that goes way, way beyond actually being able to stand up and sing to anyone. It might actually affect us on how we actually can then start to talk in truthfulness to anyone. So it really, to start with, is about acknowledging ourselves at that deep level. Once we come to feel more comfortable about being authentic in our expression, and I'll come to talk about how we can do that, we then can start to really understand what it is we want to say, which is maybe hiding behind the layers of holding that we have within our physical being that might restrict us, not only emotionally, not only in our expression of our vocal selves, but in our expression of ourselves in general. So we may find creative expression is blocked. We may find our movement is stiff. We may find ourselves being very static in our whole process of being. So it can be a very deep holding. Yeah, so how we move then from that to expressing what you were just saying is acknowledging that what we are here to do, what we maybe hide behind, is a natural process that occurs from that point.
Yes, it's extremely profound what you're saying.
Yes, it really is, Sarah. And for me, I've discovered that this you know deepens my awareness and my knowledge of this deepens the more I work with it, the more that I have the opportunity to work with others with this, that it is such a deep process. And it's held within us, you know, within our psyche, within our being. And also, well, they're also within the earth. It's such a deep holding. So yeah, to have the opportunity to understand what the voice truly holds, you know, this ancient wisdom, this ancient understanding that is held within what I always kind of see almost as like this secret tool we have, this voice of ours, and how we can learn to use it in ways which moves way beyond communicating with words. And of course, words are fantastic.
Yes, and it's very powerful to know that there doesn't always need to be words, which really just music is and always has been a universal way of people talking to each other, expressing themselves to each other without the need for language.
It is
held in the psyche, isn't it, for all?
Absolutely. For millennia, we've kind of, music has been part of our world, thank goodness, in different forms throughout the ages, of course. But music affects us, sound affects us deeply. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we've all had experiences where we can be moved by music, affected by it in wonderful ways and actually also not so wonderful ways. Yes, if you've ever had the opportunity, as I'm sure many of us have, of listening to by third hand maybe some music which doesn't resonate on such a great level. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking possibly of rock music, etc., which can carry, you know, absolutely a very strong message, but it can also affect us on quite a deep level that isn't always in resonance. But not this. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but just the different types of music that can affect us. It can come from
and which ways. Really maybe just brings us on to something else that I really wanted to talk to you about, and because I know your work is connected with this, and this program is all about connecting with nature, whether that is nature outside of us or the nature within us, which is actually the same thing. But when we work with nature and our nature, we move through seasons, and therefore rock music to me may not feel like a great idea, but to somebody else in a different part of their lives, it may absolutely be what they need.
Absolutely, yes. I really, of course, there's not in any way meaning that, but we do indeed move through seasons within our lives, and at different points of our lives, we require and are drawn to and resonate, of course, with different things, and that can be reflected within our musical tastes. Of course, it is great to connect to that strong vibe, because it can release and express emotions that are held within us, often at those moments of stressful times I'm thinking of particularly within the teenage years. Yes, it's a wonderful way of connecting in to the self through that. Yes, and the seasons of our lives, of course, are reflected in at many different stages and in many different ways. And connecting into our natural self and being in resonance with our natural environment is something that I think sometimes we often can become disconnected to in this world, and I really feel it's so important that we remember and we take time to just connect back to what it is to be in that space that enables us to feel wholesome, if you like, wholesome and connected to the earth.
Now, I know you work with the earth in the work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes, well, sometimes that may be very apparent, or maybe it may be on a very subtle level. So the work that might be involved in the various different ways that I work, maybe if I was to start with the therapy aspect and the talking aspect, would be to become aware of the natural world around us and incorporate that into the therapy on some level around just noticing how we feel when we're in connection, greater connection to the natural world, noticing where we may block that and the effects that has on us. Within the sound world, well, of course, it's hugely Well, I'm finding it to become a huge passion of mine, in that we can connect with the world through sound, and express the natural world through our own sounding, and that by using sound we can affect connect into the vibration of the earth and work with that in a very direct way. And of course, again, this is not new. People and women and men have been doing this for millennia. And I'm just thinking again of drumming circles, of old, more shamanic ways of working. We're working in resonance and connecting with this.
Yes.
Yeah. So it takes many forms, and each one is individual. But it is about just remembering our own unique rhythm, our own unique way of connecting into the greater rhythm of life, really. Yeah.
And that's the name of your business, isn't it?
It is, actually, yes. I just realized it came to me that just as I was saying that. But yes, I guess that's why it became to be called that, because that is in essence, I suppose, capturing what I feel
deeply embedded in you, and therefore what you offer. So I'm going to ask you to tell everybody how they can find out about you in a second. But before we do that, would you be able to offer to everybody listening now a practical tip on how they might take something from listening to you and actually put it into, make it real now for them?
Yes. Well, that's an important thing to do. Well, to begin with, I think, to become aware of the presence of sound in your own world, in your own life. So often, I think, we remain a little unconscious as to the effects of that. If we live in a city, then we will be bombarded by sound at all times. And sometimes that sound can become, we can block that off. So first and foremost, it's just to be aware of the presence of sound in your own life, just taking a moment to be still and listen to actually what it is that you are bathed in moment by moment. In doing so, you might discover that actually you find some of that sounding quite difficult. It might be that you find it quite dissonant, and it might be that it is quite brings up many different emotions. So just noticing that to begin with. And then allowing yourself to spend part of the day in a place where the sounds that you are surrounded by are harmonious for you and enable you to feel connected and at a place of balance. That's very basic, but often I think we forget that. I think a good example of that might be to note that, you know, when we live by... And I can tell you this from my own life. As a child, I lived very close to a railway station, a very busy mainline railway station into London. And I completely blocked out the sound of trains to the point where I no longer heard them. But revisiting my childhood home, the sounds of the trains are really impact upon me. So we just block them out. And of course, we need to do so in order to survive. So it's just about acknowledging the sounds that are around us. That is to begin with that.
Yeah. That's a really useful thing to do, really useful.
To come to the voice, maybe. Really just to begin with, just listening. Again, when we work with sound, the most important thing that we discover is actually the world of silence and the world of listening, because we cannot, from silence, sound is birthed. And so working with your voice, initially just listening to others' voices, listening to what they say, listening to what they may say beyond the words that they're using. So just tweaking up your senses, if you will, your hearing senses, and then starting to listen to your own voice. And that for many of us can bring up many different emotions. So acknowledging and accepting these emotions and just being with them and just allowing them to be. And just allowing sound and the voice to come into your life. Maybe joining a group which can enable you to tone or sound in a different way, a singing group even, any part, anything that you feel drawn to, and just experimenting with the beauty of the voice.
Thank you. That's really nice to bring it all down to a very sort of workable level, isn't it, for all of us. Thank you for sharing all of that today. It's been very inspiring, and I can tell that we've literally just touched the tip of the iceberg there. So for anybody that would like to find out more, can you tell everybody how they can find out about you?
Yes, sure. Yes, I do think we have just touched the tip of the iceberg. There's so much to say. I could feel my words starting to come out in a tumble. But yes, there's so many things to say. But yes, how you can find out more? Well, my website, as we made reference to earlier, is www.therhythmoflife.co.uk. There you find a little bit more about me and the work I offer.
How do you spell rhythm?
R-H-Y-T-H-M.
Okay. It's a word that I often have difficulty spelling.
Yes.
My waist
yes.
is asking. Okay.
Yes, me too, until I found that it was part of who I am. So you can connect in there. There you will actually be, you'll find my workshop page, and you will then discover what else I offer. So I work with offering sound and voice workshops. And I work offering meditation workshops, stress and anxiety management workshops. I hold regular sound baths and drumming circles.
And you're based in the Canterbury area in Kent.
That's right. Yes, that's right, Sarah. Yes, my practice is based in one of the practices is in a rural location, which is ideal for the sound work. And I also work in a more central location, which for the therapeutic aspect. So in one of those two places. Yeah. I also may I just say that I am actually, there is a workshop coming up on the 16th and the 17th of November in Kent, which I will be also holding again in London on the 1st and 2nd of February, and going around the country doing so, as I am the only one of the two of people working in the UK offering the Soul Voice work. And this is a Soul Voice workshop, really enabling you to connect and understand a little bit more about the work of that, which you'll find details on my website.
Wonderful. Well, I'm sure all that you do is going to take on many greater aspects in the world, Caroline. Thank you very much for sharing a little bit of what you do with us today, because I do sense that there is so much more. And I hope everybody goes to check out what you do.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for inviting me on. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome. Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. So as we move now into autumn, truly into autumn, with the clocks having changed here in the UK and the light being significantly different for us and the temperatures also dropping, I think most of us really, when the clocks change, we start to think of it as winter really arriving. So this is a very external thing for many of us, but also it can be a very, very reflective time of year and a time when we can really take stock of all that's happened so far this year and start to set new intentions. Now, in the pagan calendar, the 31st of October is a very important festival called Samhain. It's actually pronounced Samhain, but the spelling is Samhain. Now, in this festival, it's very linked to the natural world and the seasons as we see them pass by us. So Samhain marks the end of the harvest, as we can see from the light and the temperatures changing, and therefore the beginning of winter. And also, for many, it's actually New Year. And so it's at this time of year that new intentions are set. Now, on the 31st of October, here in our modern world, we celebrate Halloween. And of course, this is a very fun time, especially for children. It's become very commercial recently, but that's also brought in a very fun aspect of the tricking and treating and dressing up and maybe making something that could be quite fearful a little bit more fun for younger people. So I absolutely embrace all the modern traditions around that. But I also really, really like to spend most of my time dropping down into the deeper meanings of these festivals. And it, according to the more spiritual pagan ways of thinking, October the 31st, or this particular period that we're in right now, marks a period when the veils between the worlds, that's our world of material and living and being here now, and those who have come before us, is very thin. And so it's actually a great time for dreaming in the new and for also for divination. So if anybody uses tarot or any forms of divination like that, it's an excellent time to do that kind of work because the veils are so thin. So on a very practical level, even if that those words don't mean very much to you, what is a really great thing to do right now is at this time is to remember those who've gone before you. And one of the pagan traditions which I really, really love is to have dinner as a family together on October the 31st and actually set places at the table for those who have left us. So it's a way of remembering. So what would be really lovely would be if you could find your own way in a way that was meaningful for you to actually remember those who have gone before you, your ancestors, because they are the people who have given us our unique spark, our unique way of being in the world. So a lot of the work that nature can help us with is really allowing us to help ourselves get to know ourselves. And when we live with the seasons rather than forcing ourselves against them, we do allow ourselves to drop into these deeper aspects. So autumn as a season on its own is very much a season of letting go. We can tell that just by the light fading, the leaves dropping, the chi in the plants comes inwards and downwards, and it's the same in our bodies too. We are reflections of nature. So as the leaves drop, as birds leave, many birds leave for other warmer climates, it's very normal for people to feel sadness at this time of year and maybe not really understand why they're feeling sad. We might link it to a change of climate, to darker, literally having more dark than light in the daytime, in our days. But if we look deeper, we often find other aspects of the world around us reflecting us back our own need to let go and acknowledge how we feel sad. So this is a great time just to allow yourself to acknowledge those feelings and spend some time feeling the feelings. And this is where flower essences can come in and be really useful, as they can help support you as you process those feelings. So we're going to be looking at some flower essences that can help very, very shortly, but let's just explore for a few more minutes the nature of this time of year. It really does help us find the sense of who we are if we take on this aspect of the veils being very thin at this time. So who we are right now, where we have come from, really acknowledging our past and the people, our parents and their parents, our grandparents, whose genes have made us what we are today, all their hopes, their fears, their joys and sorrows and triumphs and despairs are all woven into the fabrics of our psyches. We might call that also genetics. And this is all embedded in our consciousness. So it's a really good time to take stock of your own beliefs and to see, really look at your beliefs and see if they match up with real time. It may be a belief system that has been passed on to you from your parents or through your ancestral line that in our modern world is really no longer useful to you. So just becoming aware of that and just committing to yourself to letting go parts of that. This is a great, great time to do it. So as mentioned before, it's a wonderful time to honour those who have come before us. It's a time where almost the past and the future meet, where we can look backwards at the past, at our past lives, whether that is actually when we were younger or if it belongs to your reality, a past life, and to look back and actually project those dreams that we've had into the past, into the future, and really dreaming in the new. So it would also be a wonderful thing as you listen to this show, or maybe you'd like to take a few minutes out afterwards, just to write down, let's say, three beliefs that you have taken through your life so far that no longer serve you, that no longer in your modern world right now are useful to you, and maybe to take them outside, to write them on a piece of paper, to take them outside and actually just have a tiny ceremony. You could do this with your family. It's a lovely thing to do with children or anybody around you, with some friends, and actually to burn them safely and then bury them into the ground. And then at the same time, to actually write down, let's say, just to make it very practical, three areas where you would like to invite in the new at this time of year. They may just be dreams for now, visions. They may be very etheric out there in the ether. They might not be manifest right now, but all dreams are sown with a seed. All plants are sown with seeds. So just planting that seed right now, allowing it to stay in the soil throughout the winter, and when the spring comes, just allowing that to germinate and come to life. So allowing the seasons to take us through that process. So writing down three of your dreams and just making them manifest by writing them down. And you could also actually go and plant them into the earth. That would be a very, very beautiful thing to do. Maybe plant them with a crystal, and then in the spring, as the chi, the sap, starts to shoot again, know that your dream, the energy of your dream, is also starting to sprout at that time. So I'm going to be back shortly looking at some flower essences that can help these very processes. So welcome back to the Nature Connection show. My name is Sarah Turner, and in this part of the show, I'm going to be talking to you about some flower essences that can help us all make the transition from the warmer weather, from the lighter weather, into the darker, colder parts of this year in the Northern Hemisphere, and really align ourselves with the seasons and help us make the most of the seasons as well, which is one of the gifts of flower essences. So for anybody who's new listening to this show, flower essences are very safe. They are one of the modalities that can be taken by everybody, including the very young during pregnancy, the very old, the very frail. Animals love to use them. So there are no contraindications at all with flower essences, and they can be safely used alongside orthodox medicine or other complementary health forms. As always, if you're concerned in any way about your health, whether physical, emotional, spiritual, please do always check with your doctor or your natural health practitioner. Fluorescences are not a replacement for medical treatment, but they are wonderful to use alongside anything you are already doing. So if you'd like to know a little bit about more about fluorescences and how to use them, I also train people how to use them. So the easiest way of doing that is going along to my training site, which is called essentiallyflowers.com, and if you have a look at the free learning resources there, you'll see some videos and some articles and some audio interviews that you can listen to that can help you understand more about fluorescences. And if you'd like to sign up for my free monthly newsletter, you'll also get access to a Getting Started with Fluorescences kit, which will give you all the basic information you need to know to get yourself started. So that's on essentiallyflowers.com. So I'd like to talk to you about a few of the fluorescences that can help us all align to this season. And the first one I'd like to talk about is the beautiful elderflower. Now, this is a white, creamy flower that many people are familiar with, as it's very, very common here in the UK. It's known as a fairy tree, which I've always found very, very intriguing. So if you have an affinity with the fairy kingdom, do make friends with some elder trees. They embody a very, very ancient wisdom, as we can tell by their name, elder tree. Now, the word elder obviously links us back to our ancestors and to wisdom that has gone before us. And these trees, there are certain trees and plants that have very overlighting, grandmotherly or grandfatherly energies, and the elder tree is one of them. So it has great, great wisdom for us. And herbally is used in many ways to boost the immune system. People use elder flowers as face washes. They make great astringent face washes. It's all different ways of using them. And of course, the berries are delightful. Many people make elderberry wine. So already her gifts are very woven into our psyche. So what I'd like to talk to you about now is the actual flower essence, which is made by floating the summer white, creamy, tiny flowers in water, and then a mother dilution is made from these. Now, if you've ever taken note of an elder flower, you'll see that they are very, very bright white light. And especially in the sunshine, they really reflect back to us a very, very bright light. So this is one of the signatures of elderflower, is that it's bright light effect. So as we go into the darker time of year, and for anybody who is affected by seasonal affective disorder, fluorescences can actually allow us to assimilate a different kind of light. So when there isn't external light around us, we can actually bring light into the body through the subtle energy layers and actually allow ourselves to maintain that light feeling in our bodies. It's a little bit like having your own light box through a natural process. And it's also, if you do suffer from SAD, I do believe that light boxes, the light therapy, having light baths is a wonderful way to do this and to help you with this. But if connecting, or as well as allowing your subtle bodies to be bathed in light, if that sounds appealing to you, then elderflower may be a very good friend for you. So as well as allowing this bathing effect of the light, what she also does is allows us to see light into the future. Now, I'll give you a small example of how I've experienced elderflower working for me. Several years ago, we said goodbye to a very special feline companion of ours called Marvin. Some of you already may know of the fluorescence range that was born from his life, called Marvin's fluorescence range, his Strong Heart fluorescence range. And you can actually find those on my moonfloweressences.com site. Now, Marvin lived to the age of 20, which was a wonderful age to live to. And in his last summer, he knew what was happening. We spent a lot of time sitting with him as he just enjoyed his last few months with us. And so although it was a very comforting time for all of us. It was also very sad because we knew the direction that he was heading into, and he knew this too. And at this time, I chose to take the elderflower essence, and I can vividly remember on several occasions actually taking it while I sat with him. And although there was much of me that was filled with a lot of sadness, taking it actually made me feel extremely joyful. And it was rather a strange polarity of feelings of actually sitting within a sadness, but also feeling extremely joyful and comforted and knowing that all was well at the same time. So this is one of the gifts of elderflower, is actually to shine light into these dark phases of our lives. So if that makes sense to you, if you know of anybody or yourself who that you feel that might help, then elderflower flower essence would be very useful for you. I know of somebody else who took elderflower at a time when a family member who was a breadwinner had actually lost their job, and it was a very dark time for the family, and a lot of family members were sort of taken into fear at that time. And this person taking elderflower was actually able to not go into that fear with everybody else and actually hold a very bright light, a bright vision for a new type of work coming along, which several weeks later it did. And so holding that light in dark times for ourselves, for others, can be really, really useful. So that is elderflower. And if you're taking it to actually help you through darker times of year, if you go onto my Moonflower Essences site, moonfloweressences.com, you'll see that there's an elderflower in sunlight and an elderflower in moonlight. I would suggest you look at the sunlight one to actually help you assimilate that light. Now, another essence that I find is very, very useful at this time of year is orange calcite. Now, this is a gem essence rather than a flower essence. And gem essences, just by their very nature, are more physical. They have a denser energy than flower essences. So if we're feeling effects on a more physical level, they are also a possibility. One of the types of crystal that I absolutely adore and that feature quite strongly in my own range of moonflower essences is the calcite family. Now, calcite crystals are very cleansing, but they're also very stabilizing. And personally, I find them, they have a very gentle cleansing action and a very nurturing, holding, nourishing action to them. And the one that I'd like to talk to you about right now is orange calcite. And again, as we go into these darker times of year and we lose light, it's a great idea to actually use colour to bring that light back into our lives. So the orange calcite, which brings the warmth, it reminds us of the beautiful firelight, which actually, if just imagining maybe a log fire in front of you, and that warmth and the glow that comes from us is very helpful to the mind, to the body, to the energy bodies, to actually open and receive that light. So the orange calcite is a lovely, warm, nurturing, nourishing orange. And you might want to just find yourself a piece of orange calcite. It's readily available, or just have a look online and have a look at the beautiful orange colour of it. Now, the calcite, as I said before, has a cleansing action. It also has a stabilising and nurturing and nourishing aspect. And whatever colour of calcite you're working with, it will also bring in the colour aspects. So with the colour orange, it's very warming, but it's also very gentle. For many, the colour red is a little bit too strong. And so orange is a great way of bringing in those warm red rays without them being overwhelming to people. So it's a colour that can be used very easily, again, with small children or older people, or anybody who's a little bit frail or who's very sensitive. So orange calcite is a real regenerator. Now, it can help us regenerate us on the physical. It can also help regenerate us emotionally and spiritually, and all at the same time. So if you're feeling depressed, without hope, if you're facing something that you don't quite know how you're going to get through it, orange calcite is a great fortifier and will really help you keep your spirits high and keep you stable and open as you go through that process. And I'd like to give you an example of my own using this. It's actually using it with the earth, but it will give you a great idea of how its energy can actually help us as people as well. Now, a few years ago, it was a springtime, and I was wanting to plant some seeds in my garden. And I actually tuned into the earth in my garden, and I actually felt that it was very lifeless, that it needed some food. And what came to me was not actually to go out and buy some fertilizer, but to actually put light into the soil. So before actually planting the seeds, I got some orange calcite essence, and I put it into a watering can, just a few drops, and every day I watered the earth. And I did this for several weeks, and it was really as long as I felt that it was necessary to do so. And I then planted the seeds, and what happened next actually was quite miraculous, is that the seeds grew really, really quickly, and we had a wonderful crop of vegetables from it. And I knew, and this happened much more easily, and the plants were much more vibrant and large and tasty than they had been before. And I knew this was in part due to the fact that I had fed the soil with warmth and light and colour. I had regenerated the energy of the soil. So if we transpose this now onto the more human physical levels, if you're feeling tired, if you feel in need of regeneration spiritually, and we know that when we nourish ourselves spiritually, that does have a knock down effect onto the physically, I would really suggest you take some orange calcite. It's a moonflower essence. You can also buy it from the Alaskan range of essences. If you're in the United States, you might find that easier to get hold of, although I'm always very happy to post to the States. Or you can just get yourself an orange calcite of your own and actually use it, hold the crystal and just carry it about your person. Or maybe finding an orange calcite piece of jewelry would be very useful. Actually taking these stones as essences can actually be quite life-changing for many. So exploring the use of essences, if that calls you, is a great way to do that. So elderflower and orange calcite are a great way of actually taking in those energies. If you'd like to look at the moonflower essences, you can also find we have a mister, which can be very useful at this time of year, called our Autumn Alignment Mister, which is made up of some lovely flowers. Elderflower and orange calcite are two of them. And you can use this in a mister around your body. It contains a blend of oils, which is very nourishing, very supportive, very calming for these types of year. It's a blend of oils that can be very helpful for the skin, because it's at this time of the year that our skin starts to change. It can help us let go. The blend of oils can also support us as we move through transition. Moonflower Essences also has a flower essence called Autumn Alignment, which contains some of the two essences that I've spoken about today, and that's also available from our moonfloweressences.com site. So I hope you've enjoyed today's Nature Connections show, connecting with Caroline and the wisdom of her using her voice and the wisdom of sound, and also connected with the wisdom of our season, and helped you to make the best of season by looking at who you truly are, your past, who you are now, as well as your future. Do try and do the couple of practical reflective exercises that I gave you earlier on, of writing down any beliefs that you no longer wish to hold on to and burning them, and then writing down also three new dreamtime wishes that you are going to plant into the soil and allow to grow when the spring arrives. And also maybe to look into finding yourself some essences or crystals or colours to help you through this season. So thank you for listening. Many blessings to yourself for a wonderful autumn from myself and the Flower Essence Kingdom.